When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Is this it?
No.
This ain't it either?
No, I've given up on looking for it.
Oh, man. Gave up already.
You got your own thing.
It's hour number two. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776 is the number. Sorry, so I just, for gits and shiggles, put up a poll for the first hour of the show. And it had a simple question. Now, the poll's closed. And the question was, if you had to put your money on one thing happening in early 2025, which is it? And the two options were Aaron Rodgers wins the vice president's seat or Aaron Rodgers wins the Super Bowl. Which one do you think won out of over 400 votes in an hour?
Super Bowl.
Correct. But it wasn't a landslide.
Damn.
56%, 56.2% chose Rodgers winning the Super Bowl. 43.8% said Rodgers would be in the vice presidency.
Damn.
Pretty close, right?
Mm-hmm.
Closer than you thought. Yeah, but of course, it is a social media poll, and most people vote just to have the results skewed because it's funny. But the whole story is funny, and that's where we're leaving it. That's where we're just basically saying this is the boredom killing business, and this is going to kill your boredom because it's an outrageous story. And that's exactly what it's supposed to be if you're RFK Jr., who has really not a lot of attention on his campaign as an independent. Remember, he was, I think, on the Republican ticket, and then he decided, okay, I'm not going to... Well, he wasn't Republican. Was he Democrat?
I believe he was running in the Democrat.
He was on the Democrat side? Right. He was on one of these, and then he decided, well, I'm not going to get on the ticket, so let me go over here.
Yeah.
And he went independent, and now he's trying to get as many famous people behind him to draw attention to see if he can, and again, to win? Highly unlikely. At least the Jets have won a Super Bowl in their time. Right? At least you have that history. It can happen.
When has an independent ever won an election?
As president?
Yes.
I don't think that's ever happened.
Right.
Well, technically, Teddy Roosevelt was part of the Bull Moose Party. It was okay. Third party stuff.
Yeah,
We're going back to those days. Right. That's
you know what? At least the Kennedy has won the presidency also.
Yeah, I'm running for the horse and carriage party.
Let me tell you something. That's one of the things where I'm going to have to call you back and...
Tippy Canoe and Tyler too.
I just got an epiphany.
What happened? Epiphany?
The beautiful mind.
Yep. What happened?
I got our guy.
Our guy? What's our guy? Who's our guy?
I got our guy for the
Who's
Jets.
Our guy?
Keenan Allen.
Why did that become a thing?
The Chargers.
Why would Harbaugh want to do that?
Okay, let me explain. They drafted a receiver last year in the first round. They just paid Mike Williams. He's younger. Keenan Allen is post-30. And also, they have four players that have out of the top 12, they have four players that have the highest cap number in the NFL. They are $25 million over the cap. They have to cut a lot of people. So if you go get Keenan Allen, he fits the Devontae Adams mold. As a guy that's older, under contract, that you can pay.
Albert Breer tweeted this a couple of days ago. Chargers have had exploratory trade talks with Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack. And Rossini also, she tweeted that. But also, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. He adds, though, Allen appears to be the least likely to be moved, but they're listening on all of them.
Make them listen
hard.
Of
course, it relates to their cap situation, which is not good. They're 20 over.
They're 25 over.
25, okay.
They have four of the highest cap numbers in the NFL. Out of 12, they got four.
Mm.
Bosa's at 34.
Mm-hmm.
Khalil Mack's at 34.
Okay.
Keenan Allen's at 34 and Mike Williams at 32. I would think that Mike Williams would be the one. I'll take Mike Williams.
Okay.
I'll take Mike Williams.
Yeah, well.
Keenan Allen is the older guy. He's the best running guy.
All right, so the Chargers, once again, good old friends over there. And
that's what I'm saying. If I can't get the tackle from you, let me get the receiver. I'll draft the tackle.
Okay. All right, well, we'll keep an eye on the Jets and the Chargers' relations, and if they happen to have conversations about different things, could it be trying to get that fifth pick? Could it be trying to get one of the wide receivers to help them get out of cap hell? All stuff to watch. You know what time it is, though, right now, Bart?
It is. Hans Heyer.
You have it right in front of you.
No, I just said it.
You didn't, though. You whispered it because you weren't sure. Read the script and you'll be sure.
It's time for Hans Hoops Hierarchy, brought to you by from Samwell Institute for Pain Management. What do you got for us this week, big boy?
Basketball is my favorite.
Having a hard time figuring out where things fit?
Look, man, I fall for no banana in my tailpipe.
You're in the right place.
What I say when it comes to this basketball team is the law.
Here's Hans Hoops Hierarchy.
Game blouses.
I love that intro, by the
way. Yo, we went all out for this production.
Yeah.
Did we outsource this?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I thought this was a Dina Hand production. This is very good.
Oh, this is Dina. I thought this is like Sports Safety or something like that.
No. This was our neighbor who just looks over the fence and all you see is his eyes.
Damn. Hey. Yeah. Great work. Right. Great work.
So today's list is going to be topical. It's the top five NBA players who became politicians. I wonder if you can name five. Can you guess some of these? Well, I'll tell you what.
I got you.
Well, I'm going to give you. All right,
can I give you my three?
No. No, this is my list.
Oh.
Barstradamus is done. It's time for Triple H.
Okay.
Damn.
Time to play the game.
Guys, just always trying to take away my stuff here. All right. But you're going to hear some. You'll be like, oh, yeah. So, do we have? Can you give me the numbers? The number five.
Number five.
All right. Mo Udall.
Oh.
Otherwise known as Morris King Udall.
What?
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
He played for the Denver Nuggets in 1948-49.
Damn.
Yes.
What, he helped us strike down Prohibition?
I don't know. But his name was Morris King Udall, but played in the league before there were any black people in the league.
Ah.
You know what I mean? Like, you hear the name and you think his name is Mo Udall.
Mo.
Like, then I'm like, wait a second. But anyways, he played 1 year for the Nuggets. It was then called the NBL. But then went on to serve 30 years as a congressman in Arizona.
Mm.
There's number five.
Number five.
Not much more to say about Mo Udall.
No, number four.
Number four. You'll know this name. Tom McMillan. 11 years in the NBA. Played for the Hawks and the Washington, the then Bullets.
Mm.
Then when he went on for three terms as a congressman in Maryland. And Tom McMillan, a very smart man too, but a terrific NBA player at his time. But like this dude, I remember at the very end of his career, I remember seeing him and it's like, dude had gray hair. He looked like someone's dad playing in the NBA, but he was a good player. But he, again, three terms as a congressman. So there's number four.
I know you're number one.
I'm sure you do. Number one's kind of easy, but these next three, you should be able to guess. So next up.
Number three.
Can you guess one?
Oh yeah. I see the Bill Bradley, Jesse the Body.
Jesse the Body Ventura never played in the NBA.
Oh, NBA.
NBA. This is the Hans Hoops hierarchy.
He could have been a Piston, I think. Jesse Ventura?
Ventura definitely could have played for the Bad Boys.
He was backing up Bill Laimbeer.
Definitely, I don't know if you went all the way there, but Dave Bing was the mayor of Detroit.
That's on the list. The list, but not number three.
Damn. Okay.
Not number three, but he's on the list. Okay. Not number three.
Bill Bradley.
Number three. Nope. Number three. I'm surprised you don't know this one. I ran into him earlier this year when I was in Phoenix.
Ah, Kevin Johnson.
Kevin Johnson.
KJ, baby.
Right. KJ.
Mayor K-Jizzle.
Mayor of Sacramento.
For the Rizzle for Shizzles.
From 2008 to 16, and obviously is an all-time great Suns point guard.
Led him straight to bankruptcy.
And it was great to see him when I saw him. Like, there were other people that led them to bankruptcy. I don't think he was the guy. A lot of people let him down.
Your policies stink.
Math ain't mathing. All right, then number two you named
Dave Bing.
Bing Bong. That's
Bing
right.
Bing got so much money.
Hall of Fame Detroit Pistons.
Rich as hell, too.
And then mayor of Detroit for 8 years.
Can we talk about how rich he is?
Go ahead, tell me.
Dave Bing has like Bing Industries. Like he ran for mayor and only took a dollar because he was rich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tried to clean up the city. How'd that work out?
Nah, it didn't work out. It's still dirty.
Did not work out well. What was the issue with Dave Bing as the mayor?
It was like, meh. He didn't really do much. Our mayor.
But could he though? Like, was he sort of? Every time he tried to do something, it just ran into another.
We had Dennis Archer. He sucked. Yep. Mayor Young. Everybody loves Mayor Young. Okay. He was the Tuskegee Airman. He was like the mayor for like 30 years, all the way up to like 90. Then Dennis Archer came in. Dave Bing was okay.
Just okay.
He was okay.
All right.
It was hard times. I think he was the mayor during like the 2008 and all that time.
Yes. When
it was,
yep.
Then we had Kwame Kilpatrick that did 11 years in Fed time. You know what I'm saying? We keep our politicians like the bottom of my shoes. Dirty!
Ouch. All right. And last but not least on this list is obvious. Dollar Bill Bradley, Senator of New Jersey from 1979 to 1997. You know, he did run for president. In 2000, he lost to Al Gore.
He had very, very, like, politician hair, man. That comb over, then, like, the little eyebrow thing. Like, he looked very political.
Incredibly smart man. Yes. Went to Princeton, was a Rhodes Scholar. Obviously, a great NBA player, Hall of Famer. Played for the Knicks. Everybody knows that. A very smart man. And when you think about it, I remember his campaign. He had a lot of NBA people behind him. Phil Jackson was on the campaign trail with him a lot of the times. People had his back, but the issue was, you know what the problem with him was? Wasn't entertaining enough.
Yeah.
He was just very matter of fact. Yeah. He's super smart. And the problem, again, with politics is you can have somebody who's absolutely brilliant, but is not an entertainer. And the people will vote for the brilliant man. They won't vote for the smart guy who understands diplomacy and how to get people to work together. Vote for him.
You need to make me feel good.
Because he's just too, vanilla.
That's why Phil should have been on the side, like the left part of the wing of like Democrat, like, and we're going to get free butterflies and free weed.
Well, you know what's
amazing? Imagine Phil,
But how about this? Bill Bradley didn't get the majority of the African-American vote, which broke his heart.
Well, he is a white guy.
No, it doesn't matter. First of all, played in the league.
What was his politics?
I can't start reciting all of his politics, but he was somebody that cared a lot about middle America and cared a lot about people that were living in unfortunate situations. He was all about raising up and lifting up people and all that stuff. He had a lot of connections to the African-American community, but because of Clinton, Gore had already all that in his pocket.
It's like why Biden won, because he was Obama's vice president. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Gore won because some of the greatest times here. Now, before the bubble bust, he got all the credit for it. But before that, Clinton, like, black people was living good underneath Clinton. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Before the bottom fell out and they pulled put up the Wizard of Oz curtain.
Well, again, anyways, Bradley is number
straight
one.
Straight to the recession.
So there's the list. What do you think of that list?
I like that list, man.
Yeah. I'm not missing anybody because we looked it up. There really isn't anybody.
Terry
DeHaire was like, what did he have, Dino? He had one term in a town like a council in New Jersey.
Moe Udall was on there.
Terry DeHaire played for Seton Hall, and so that was another basketball player. But
some of your finest work, Alan.
You like that one?
Yeah, I love it so much. I'm going to close it out.
That's it out, baby.
Hans Hoops Hierarchy, brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For a pain-free life.
Yeah.
Visit samwellpain.com today.
Love it.
800, National report.
800-919-3776. All right, so we have all that going on with the Jets.
We got Morgan Moses, baby!
Trade for Morgan Moses, so securing the offensive line.
Let's put the question out there.
What's the question?
Who offensive line do you have more faith in?
Oh, I have the Giants.
The Jets or the Giants?
Giants. They have a left tackle. They have an all-pro left tackle.
But now we have a right tackle.
But what does that mean? So do the Giants.
Okay.
You need a left tackle. You don't have one yet. But get me a left tackle, then we can talk.
Who you like, Tippmann or Schmidt?
Schmidt's pretty good. He was very good.
You think he's better than Tippmann?
I think he was very good.
Vera Tucker? Who they got better than Vera Tucker on the inside?
Take Vera Tucker. Probably take Vera Tucker.
Yeah, Vera Tucker the most talented.
He's an all-pro. Yeah.
Yeah, caliber. You got Simpson?
Not a holding.
Huh?
Mm.
The
Giants just got a guy from the
Raiders. Yeah, they got Runyon.
Yeah.
I'll
take Runyon.
No, I don't think Runyon's good as
By the way, Runyon's dad was wasn't he a congressman, right? Senator? Congressman? Something like that.
Yeah, he liked good old boy. He's a Michigan man.
Hey. Just saying, is another NFL player turned politician.
I'm telling you, man. Like I don't know. Like, depending on what comes this left tackle, we might be able to say that the Jets and Giants solidified their lines.
You got to get a left tackle before you can say that.
I said after the draft.
So we have to wait for the draft.
Yeah, because I'm not going to Tyron Smith, man. Like that scares me to death.
All right. Well, meanwhile, again, as we said, one entity that loved the idea of this Aaron Rodgers stuff and vice president, all that stuff, was the Yankees, because they could be completely, like, you don't have to pay attention to anything. But however.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Not great.
What? We can't wait?
So, the New York Post is reporting.
Damn.
Heyman and Mark Sanchez.
Mark Sanchez?
Mark W. Sanchez.
Oh, not Sanchez.
Gerrit Cole will be out at least 1 to 2 months.
Oh!
Will be headed to L.A. for an appointment with Dr. Neil
Halitosis.
I'm like Bart when it comes to that name.
Halitosis.
I will butcher it every time I see it.
Just call him halitosis.
The Post has their own sources on this. So several Yankee doctors and Dr. Neil have viewed Cole's preliminary film, and none has detected a tear in the UCL. There's enough concern about the ligament that they're suggesting an in-person visit.
So if he's out for 2 months, how can they already say that? If it's no
word is that the defending AL Cy Young Award winner will be out for an extended period, although now the hope and belief is that Cole has a chance to return sometime in May or early June.
That don't sound good.
Yeah, doesn't. So they want more testing. That's what's going on here. So there's a level of concern that's being raised.
Blake Snell, please.
Yeah, that's where it is. So there's your story there that nobody wanted to hear.
Yankee
but I'll tell you what, a lot of fans were thinking.
Yankee fans are crying right now.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, if it's a short term, which is a month to 2 months, wouldn't that be better than the alternative? Here's Michael Kay from yesterday's show. Listen to this.
I think, and this is just for me, it's not from anybody, if they lose him just for a month, they'll have a party. They'll have a celebratory party if all this is a month.
You just said a mouthful. That would be the... You're saying right now you believe that if we find out he's out a month, that would be good news?
It'd be unbelievable news. The worst fear is he's out the whole year. They should be celebrating. The Yankee front office would celebrate. Your biggest fear is if he's out the whole year. I mean, when they're doing MRIs on elbows, the first thing you think about is Tommy John surgery.
Do we agree with this? Because I do. Because the worst is he's gone for the year.
How many people have ever been gone for 2 months and then come back and pitch the way they're supposed to
Masahiro Tanaka.
Come on, man.
No, whatever. You asked me a question, I answered it.
It's like Godzilla, man. He got superpowers. They sent him some special sushi. Can't detect that stuff in the sushi.
But seriously, like that could happen. Now, will he be at the top of his game? Will he be Cy Young caliber? I don't know.
Tanaka
can
never.
But if you can get him back and it's like August, September, and then he gets himself ramped up for playoffs and you have him in the playoffs, that's critical. Now, can the Yankees survive until perhaps June without him with the starters that they have? Hell no. I don't believe they can. I do think, and again, the Dylan C stuff is now out there with them kicking the tires once again on that. And if you're the White Sox, now you got to know, well, we've got them over a barrel. So, all right, so let's...
If you're Blake Snell.
Yeah, well, that price just keeps going up. But which way do you go? Do you trade and give up a prospect to bring in Cease?
Or do you just spend money?
Or do you just...
Spend money.
Spend the money and then say, it gives us at least insurance if Cole isn't anywhere near what he can be, but at least we still have two Cy Young winners in our rotation. Like, what do you really have to do here? This almost puts a ton of pressure now on the Yankees to make a tough decision. Do you mortgage the future, which is a prospect, which is what the White Sox want, one of their top prospects? Do you mortgage that future, or do you say it's only money? What do you do here?
It's only money.
Do you go, it's only money?
It's only money.
rather than give up the prospect.
It's only money. And you print it. So print some more. Who cares if it's some hyperinflation and, you know, when me and Han go to judges' chambers to host our show, that just means that we have to pay a little bit more.
We are doing that. We are doing that.
We own Daffy Duck and Mickey Mouse, man. But, we can afford it.
No, no, but in all honesty, I'm serious. Like, that's, I think that's the decision that they're probably going to have to face. Because you can't possibly say we're going to open the season and go 2 months without our ace.
Yeah.
And we're just going to ride it out with three starters and then an opener.
Yeah.
Can you really do that? I don't think you can.
You risk wearing your bullpen out early.
You do, especially, well, you, I don't know what the right answer is on this one. I think the obvious answer is it's only money.
Money.
But we all know that House Steinbrenner doesn't actually operate that way, right?
Well, this is the extreme circumstances. You're under pressure. Your general manager is under pressure to win. You haven't won in a long time, and you didn't go to the postseason last year for the first time. It was a disappointment.
Now, you know, again, Clark Schmidt, a big piece of this as well. Is he ready to finally emerge? All I've heard about is how he's going to come and become an ace at some point in his career. Last I checked, he's almost 30 years old. He's 28 years old. Right? Like, this is like, who's the guy that you always heard about? Florio? Yeah, like, never saw. Like, Clark Schmidt's a guy. Yeah. Like, he's supposed to be a star this year. Well, where is he as far as his development? Because all I've heard about him for the last couple of years is this guy's. I mean, he's a first-round pick.
It's like you talking to your kid. Like, don't worry, man. You're going to get your last growth spurt.
He's been in the organization for 7 years, right? He's been in the organization for 7 years. Can he step up and help you out? Do you really go Stroman, Rodon, Cortez, and Schmidt? Can you survive with that? And then when you need the fifth guy, you just do an opener.
You're going to wear your bullpen out, bro.
It's early in the season.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to be laying on him way too early.
If you know that Cole's coming back, do you just say, you know what? We just have to, you know, we'll circle the wagons and we'll get through it with what we have. Or do you spend the money and bring in a Snell who, wasn't he close with Anaheim?
You better
so that hasn't happened?
Straight cash, homie. Need that cheese on the taco, man.
You know, I asked you a question, you didn't answer it.
I don't think he went to Anaheim.
No, not yet.
So it's still a chance. You know,
you could trade for Dylan Cease and you're going to have to give up a prospect.
You know these pitchers don't like missing, like, spring training. It's an essential part. Now, they go work out at these little places and training places, but it's not the same. And when they do that and they come in, they usually get hurt.
Mm.
I don't like that.
No, this is no bueno, but it's still, like I said, what we were fearing was that it was going to be out for the season. The fear was that. Like Kay said, 1 month, when you consider how bad it could have been, you'll take it, right? Again, Bart, yeah. if the Rodgers thing happened and they first thought it was Achilles and then they had tests done and they're like, all right, it's an Achilles strain.
Right.
He didn't rupture it. We're going to give him a month or 2 months, and then he can come back. Wouldn't you rather that? Like, okay, so we'll see him in November.
Yeah.
Knowing that it's still a strain on the Achilles, and could it pop at any time? Maybe. But at least I know I got him back.
Gives us hope.
Versus 4 plays into the season, we were told, done. Right?
Finito.
It's a long baseball season. If you can get your ace back in June, that's a lot better.
The expectations are high. And
are
it's
they
a lot
though?
Of, it's a lot,
yeah. There's already questions of whether or not this team, this is the old lineup, like, are they going to stay healthy enough to be able to be there in October when it matters?
It sounds like the answer to that is no.
And I mean, Judge has already got ab issues now. I mean, like,
man, how did the bloom fall off the rolls already?
Off the Yankees?
Already. Just last week with Soto and everybody there, we were saying we got what we need.
Well, there's a lot on Soto now, too, right?
Neither.
Well, if you talk about a guy that's about to get 300 milli, maybe more.
I can't wait till
if he has a monster season.
Can't wait.
How much pressure could he put on the Yankees if he has a monster season and carries them
and keeps them
in it?
Can't wait till he's a Met.
Well, you never know. All right, 800-919-3776. Tons of calls to get to. We'll get to those. We have audio files coming up as well. We are ignoring the fact that Bart went to the Garden last night. And the Knicks won a game. Two things that rarely happen at the same time.
Good luck, Chuck.
Stay with us, Bart and Han, 98.7 ESPN. You have BetMGM for me, bud?
If you want.
I do want it.
Okay. Ask and you shall receive. Burger King, baby. Discover BetMGM, the sports betting app for New Yorkers to turn to for nonstop action. As the official sports betting partner of Madison Square Garden, the New York Knicks, and the New York Rangers, BetMGM meets New Yorkers at the world's greatest arena with same-game parlays, exclusive signature bets, and much more all season long. And as an authorized gaming partner of the NBA and an official sports betting partner of the NHL, BetMGM takes the show on the road for excitement every night. Plus, as an official sports betting partner of the New York Jets, BetMGM makes every football game day the best it can be. Download the BetMGM app today. BetMGM and GameSense reminds you to play responsibly and offers resources to help you make appropriate choices. Go to BetMGM.com for T's and C's. Must be 21 years or older to wager. New York and New Jersey only. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, help is available. In New Jersey, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 878-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. Hi, Ant.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, what a difference a game makes from a lifeless performance against the Sixers a couple of days ago to a dominating performance last night. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave both agreed the Knicks look like a different team with OG Anunoby back.
There was a level of excitement, too. Just, I mean, there were... excitement's the word, to see what he was going to look like, right? I mean, you know, you saw in January what kind of, you know, impact he had on this team. You know, as you slowly saw, you know, pieces of this team kind of ripped away, your best players ripped away, you couldn't wait. And especially coming on, you know, on the heels of a disgusting basketball game, a brutal loss where you scored 73 points. It's like, okay, I mean, you look at how jumbled up the East is, and you have an opportunity now. I know Maxey's back, but still no Joel Embiid. And also with the tiebreaker implications, right? That, you know, OG back, let's see what it looks like. And he comes back, he looked good. Team, it looked like a completely different team.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey. During tonight's action, glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart, so we got lots to get to on this show. So much going on. 800-919-3776. We got tons of calls. We'll get to those as well. Stay with us. But right now, because there's so much going on, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
Let's begin with the topic of the day, which is this crazy story that an independent named Robert Kennedy Jr., yes, him, he was a bit of the black sheep of the family growing up. But anyways, he's now on an independent ticket, and he's looking for a running mate for president to be his vice president. And in stories by the New York Times and others, and he actually himself has confirmed, among the names he is considering, which include Jesse Ventura, yes, that guy, Mike Rowe, you know, dirty jobs guy, Andrew Yang, you might know him here in New York, and Aaron Rodgers. Crazy, but true.
Can I add somebody else to the list who we should consider?
Who else should be on that list?
Pootie Tang.
Okay.
Pootie Tippy Tay on the tippy tie.
But another name that isn't on his list, but a well-known professional athlete who's actually, and the timing on this is just beautiful, said that one day he might want to run for president. You know who it is? I'll break the silence.
Blair.
It is Steph Curry.
Oh!
This is from CBS Mornings.
Steph Curry for president. Yay, nay, maybe.
Maybe.
Do you have an interest in politics?
I have an interest in leveraging every part of my influence for good in the way that I can. So if that's the way to do it, then I'm not saying the presidency. But if politics is a way that you can create meaningful change, or if there's another way outside of politics, you know, that we can do.
You're not ruling it out?
No.
2028, you never
not
know.
That soon.
Not that soon, okay.
Leveraging my influence. He does have a large influence. I mean, he's the guy that has changed the game of basketball. He has a ton of young fans and fans in general, and somebody that could have that type of impact. And, of course, you know he is very close to Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr has a lot of political views, as we know. And it makes you wonder, all right, Steph Curry, great golfer. Aaron Rodgers likes to play golf. Yeah. Maybe, just maybe, we have a ticket down the road one day.
I like to add Russell Wilson.
Of a Curry-Rodgers, you know, 2032 kind of deal.
I like to add Russell Wilson because he looks like he can lie and say all the right things. He can get
in front
of the mic. He can get in front of the mic and sound presidential.
That's right.
American Nation. Let's drill.
American Nation.
Let's drill.
Let's drill.
Let's drill.
Anyways, athletes becoming politicians. It's not new. Tale's old as time. That's what fame will bring you. Influence, as he said. Leveraging my influence, but to do good things. That's what you want. All right, let's get away from this story, shall we? Let's get to another story on the basketball side of things. Because we haven't really talked about it much today, Bart. But the Knicks last night started to get whole again.
Bing bong.
They had a big win. And I called it yesterday. What I said? I said, this is a must win. Ugly loss to the Sixers on Sunday. You play them again on Tuesday night. And you know the standings, you know what's going on. You had to win this game. You got to set that tone. You got to send the message. So Tyrese Maxey came back for the Sixers. Didn't matter because for the Knicks, OG Anunoby came back. Finally, his first game since January 27th. 14 points in about 29 minutes. And he looked good. And he fit right in like he did right after the trade. And now the Knicks are 13-2 when he plays in a game, and OG got a warm reception from the Garden crowd, and he enjoyed that.
Felt great, you know, it's been a while. Missed the play with my teammates. So it's a great feeling for sure.
Now, Josh Hart had
Got to stand in the way.
Yes, Josh Hart went for 20, 19, and 10, his fourth triple-double of the season. And, of course, he was taken out of the game at 19 rebounds, which he had some fun with Tom Thibodeau because he basically said, wait, you can't get me to 20. I can't get a 20-20 game. He played 39 minutes for the first time. He played under 40 minutes since the All-Star break. So the whole joke one more minute, could have gotten one more rebound, could have had his 20-20. But you got to take me out now. Like the whole thing was actually really funny. But Josh Hart, of course, had a great game, but even he had to take note of Anunoby's impact. And so he was asked of why. Just one guy comes into the lineup and everything looks different.
He's the lead on both sides of the ball. Offensively, able to knock down shots, but defensively, he's someone you can base your defense around. He gets stops. That's our guy. So we've had success with him. Hopefully we can keep him on the court.
Now, Tibbs said before the game, Julius Randle is doing everything. The only thing he's not doing is playing against contact. So he's in the walkthrough. He's doing 5-on-0 stuff, 1-on-1 stuff with light contact, meaning using padding, and the conditioning's great. They just are taking it slow with him. He'll be on the trip. Mitchell Robinson, he thinks, is close to being cleared for contact. That's an amazing story when you think about it. He had surgery on his ankle in December. And so here we are in March, and he's, as Tibbs said, he thinks he's going to be pretty close to being cleared for contact. All good news on the injury front for the Knicks as they now embark on a road trip, which starts in Portland on Thursday night.
You going road tripping?
No, I'm not on this trip. No, I'm not.
I'll
be in the studio for this one, so we got some late nights for me coming up.
I thought Portland was your stuff.
Yeah,
man.
This would have been a fun one. But Portland, right. I get the L.A. trip because they know I'm an L.A. guy. I like that stuff. But Portland.
Beach boy.
Sacramento, Golden State, and then Denver. So I don't get to do that trip.
I can't wait to see how they respond to Golden State.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they just look mm-hmm. out like it was bad.
Yep.
I wonder how much difference he makes.
Yeah, no, that was ugly.
Him on Kuminga is what I want to see.
Yeah, he's played well. Really well. Keep an eye on the standings, by the way. I mean, I'll go deeper into this later on, but as the Knicks are opened up, with this win, they got a one-game lead over the fifth-place team, 1.5 over sixth place. More importantly, they're only 3 games out of third.
Mm.
And the Milwaukee just went on they lost 3 of 4 on a road trip. Milwaukee's within reach as well at number 2. So if the Knicks can get right and put some dubs together, all of a sudden they could climb, not just worry about falling out of the top 6, but maybe they could climb up. You never know. With Anunoby back, they're a much different looking team. Sauce Gardner was on with RC on the Pivot podcast. Listen to what he said about Mecole Hardman.
Mm.
And what he noticed out of the veteran wide receiver.
If you really know what it is, what it takes to win, you're going to make sure you let the team know. We always around each other. We always in the locker room having fun. We always in the meetings. We always talking to each other after practice. But the reason he couldn't do that is because he never earned his stripes. He came in the facility and just thought he had it made for him. Like, if you know what it takes to win, you're not going to go to practice and drop hella punts and then have excuses to why you're dropping them. You know, you're not going to go in a special teams meeting and get cussed out by the special team coordinator. Like, it's just certain things that's not going to happen if you truly know what it takes to win. So I feel like it's always two sides to it. And I'm a realist, so I'm always keeping 100. Like I said, I'm going to keep it 100 with that. Like I said, I'm actually proud of him for being able to go there and make those plays like late in the season. You know, because I'm sure when he came to the Jets, he wasn't expecting to go back to Kansas City at the same year or whatever. You know what I mean? So I'm proud of him for being able to win the Super Bowl. I'm proud of him for being able to, you know, make that catch to end the game.
What do you think of what he said there? I mean, it's a young player that recognized the veteran came in and you didn't show us anything about winning. You weren't a leader.
And he's really not a veteran. See, this is the thing. He knows about winning, but he wasn't affecting the winning. He was falling in line when he was in Kansas City. So all the leadership was coming from Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. All the leadership was coming from Patrick Mahomes. All the leadership was coming from Chris Jones. So now you know what it looks like, but you're not able to apply it and be able to lead and show everybody what you learned. And he came in here because he won the Super Bowl, and he thought that meant that he was better than everybody else. That's just kind of my interpretation from it. He came in here, he walked with a bravado and talking for things he didn't earn. And then he thought, like, because I'm a winner over here, that everybody's supposed to bow down and think that he's good. But then he didn't practice like a pro, right? He didn't. You know, whenever you talk about making mistakes and making excuses in practice, like, we got the young guys looking to you. You're supposed to be the example, but you're making excuses. So that's not gonna fly, and that's gonna fall short. You know, that's anybody that's ever won somewhere else and then tried to go there. That sweat equity don't mean nothing here because you didn't do it here.
Right.
So, like, you got to prove to us that you are who you say you are, that you can do it here. Who's to say it wasn't about your environment and not about you? So that's kind of what he's saying. And then he's saying, hey, man, I'm happy that he got his opportunity.
Oh, yeah. That was classy to add that part.
He made 2 catches, right? He went even up. He didn't play well for Kansas City. If that's the case, Kansas City would already signed him back.
Mm. But, yeah, and he didn't even know that they won the Super Bowl on that catch, which is even more hilarious. Last but not least, because this is the breaking news of the past hour, the New York Post is reporting that Gerrit Cole will be out at least 1 to 2 months. He's going out to L.A. and he's going to get checked out on this elbow, but they believe that the UCL is intact. It's not an issue, but they still want to take more tests and look at it, and the feeling is it could be out for an extended period, but the hope is, according to the Post, that he'll be able to return sometime in May or early June. Michael Kay yesterday said, news like this, if they get it, which we just did, is something the Yankees would actually be relieved to hear when you consider what the worst case scenario would have been.
I think, and this is just from me, it's not from anybody, if they lose him just for a month, they'll have a party. They'll have a celebratory party
you
if
just said
all
a mouthful,
this is
man.
Is a month.
You just said a mouthful. That would be the... You're saying right now, you believe that if we find out he's out a month, that would be good news?
It'd be unbelievable news. The worst fear is he's out the whole year. They should be celebrating. The Yankee front office would celebrate. Your biggest fear is if he's out the whole year. I mean, when they're doing MRIs on elbows, the first thing you think about is Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, and that's what we all thought. We all feared the worst. And now, if it's just something that, okay, we get a look at it, we understand it, you give it some rest, and then they ramp him back up, and you get him at some point in the middle of the season. I ask you, Yankee fans, right now, 800-919-3776, do you agree with Michael Kay? Is this at least the best-case scenario? Do you feel like it could have been a lot worse? And the other question is, what do the Yankees do? Do they just go with what they have and hope they can get through it and wait for him to come back? Or do they say, we've got to go get someone else, another starter, and is it trade for Dylan Cease, which might mean giving up a high-end prospect, or sign Blake Snell and spend a lot more money than Hal Steinbrenner wants to spend? What would you want to do there? 800-919-3776. That is Audio Files. We'll get back to your calls. It's Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart, let's do a little tournament update brought to you by Schweppes. 2 o'clock, so just in a few minutes, you get a tip off in the A-10 tournament, Fordham and VCU. So all the Fordham people out there, I know Anthony Pusick's going to be watching this game closely. But for all you Stony Brook people, now I know it ended in heartbreak, and that's what it did. Stony Brook had a run to remember. They get to the CAA championship game for the first time in their program's history, but they lost to the top seed Charleston 82-79 last night. Tyler Stevenson Moore had a hell of a game. He's had a hell of a tournament. 26 points. He hit 7 threes. But they ran out of gas. That was their fourth game in 4 days. I mean, that's what the tournament's all about, and you got to just have enough in the tank to finish the job. They were the 7th seed. And they fought all their way through, including knocking off Hofstra, which is a big Long Island rivalry, beating Hofstra on Monday, 63-59. And they also beat Drexel in double overtime. That's really what got it going for them. That was Sunday, and that got them now where they were on a run. Came also close. Actually had the lead at the half, but ended up losing to Charleston 82-79. So the locals for there, at least at that point, you know, some disappointment, but a 20-win season for Stony Brook and a hell of a run there in the conference tournament. And that's the tournament update presented by Schweppes. Schweppes offers above the rim, refreshment.
Silly booty cat tricks for kids.
Dino, do you remember when Rick and I did shows and there would be college kids who would take shots every time I screwed up reads? We had some like drunk college kid throughout the show. Remember they would call in and say every time you mess up a read, somebody has to do a shot.
Oh, yeah. They were very drunk.
Yes. And in the very beginning of the days of me, when I've never done radio in my life, doing reads, not easy. So just a memory of those days.
I've been there.
I bet you have. Yes. Above the Rim Refreshment and is proud to sponsor the Big East Conference. That's going to be a lot of fun, by the way, as it hits the Garden. Enjoy the madness. Take a break from the hoops action with a Schweppes seltzer or Schweppes ginger ale. 800-919-3776. Nick in Woodbridge. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. So, Alan, I got a question for you. I'm looking at the schedule for the remainder of March, and I'm looking at the Knicks schedule, and I'm looking at the Cavs schedule.
Right.
I'm just wondering, with us getting healthy, do you think there's a chance that we could jump to that third spot? Like, obviously, anything's possible, but the Cavs got some tough games coming up, and they're really banged up right now. I'm just curious your thoughts.
Yeah, that's the reason why you can think to yourself that you have a chance because they are banged up. They are missing Donovan Mitchell. His knee, he has a sore knee. This is not the time of year for that, especially for a guy like him who relies so much on athleticism that you want to think to yourself, okay, that's a concern. Evan Mobley rolled his ankle, and that's also a concern. So there's two starters there that have been knocked out this past week, and that could cost them. And that, you know, again, you're right. It's something to be concerned with. Now, the Knicks, according to strength of schedule remaining, they have a much easier strength of schedule compared to the Cavs. The Cavs have the 11th hardest schedule remaining. They still play a lot of good teams, whereas the Knicks, not as difficult.
I even look at it after Sacramento, right? Like, you play Portland and Sacramento, and then obviously Golden State and Denver are going to be tough, but then you get Brooklyn, Detroit.
Yeah, you come Toronto, home and it slows down a little. Yeah, yeah, San Antonio.
Detroit's on a winning streak.
Well, Detroit's actually playing a lot better late in the year, you know. But
yeah, but you got to, I mean, I
you
like
gotta
our
win the game.
Chances with that.
Gotta
you got to win everything at this point. I like our chances there. And, I mean, with OG back, like, you saw it last night. Like, it's a different team.
Yeah.
It is a completely different team. The ball moves so much better. And I think defensively is really the biggest key because they've struggled down the stretch not having him, right? And I think you're going to need him. So I can't wait. I really hope Randall is back. I don't want him to push him. Like, it's more important for him to be available come playoff time.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, would it be nice to have him by first week of April.
Yeah, I think they're gonna proceed with caution. I said this, and this is something that I think, it's not something anybody has told me, and thank you for the call, Nick. I feel like when you look at the schedule, and Julius Randle, as you know, they don't have him going against contact right now. But everything I've heard is that he's, and you've seen him at in pregame workouts, he looks phenomenal. But what you have to think about is who you're playing against with a shoulder like that. And when you look and see
Sabonis.
DeMontis Sabonis.
I must break you.
And these two, when they play each other, it's a war.
I hate you.
There's something about when he was with the Pacers, they had these wars. There's just something those two, when they see each other, you know, they
on sight.
They get after it physically.
I'm on your ass on sight.
Right, exactly. And so I'm not sure I want to put Julius in a game like that, because that's a little too soon to have to face a guy that you know is a bit of a rival and you know is going to be a physical matchup. Don't really want that. So you'd wait till after that game at the very least. Now, would you do Golden State that has Draymond Green out there?
No, Draymond is the best behavior.
I'm just saying he's a physical player.
Yeah, but Draymond ain't strong like Sabonis. Sabonis is strong. Like, he runs into him, he hurts.
You're right. But I don't know if I even want to do that.
Draymond a little soft.
And then it's Denver, and it's Aaron Gordon and Nikola Jokic.
You got to throw him into the fire, baby.
I'd probably wait till they get back, and it's the Nets on a Saturday afternoon is probably your easiest way to kind of ease them in.
Oh, homecoming.
Yeah, right.
Literally.
But to me, like, isn't that, like, if you think about a target date, then you, like you mentioned, the matchups that are coming up after that, it's sort of like, yeah, if there's going to be one, like if there's a game to ease him in, maybe that's the one. After the trip, afternoon on a Saturday, you know, he'll be jacked up for that game. Nets aren't really a physical, like a really physical big team. Yeah. They're going to run, you know, a little more. So maybe that's the target. I could be wrong and he could come back sooner. But that's how I see it if you ask me for my opinion. Join the Michael Kay Show for a live Big East broadcast this Friday, March 15th, starting at 3 p.m. at the Rutherford. I'm having trouble today, Bart.
It's okay, man.
A rooftop restaurant on 33rd Street across from Madison Square Garden. There'll be plenty of ESPN swag given away and a chance to score Big East tournament tickets. See the Kay Show live with special Big East guests at the Rutherford on 33rd Street this Friday, starting at 3 p.m. It's brought to you by Sam Adams, Truly Hard Seltzer, Schweppes, and Nissan. All right, Power Hour's coming up. We're going full buffet. There's so many headlines to get to. We'll read you them all, and you can react to them with us. Stay with us, Barton Hart, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. He's already the QB. Could he also be the VP? Reports are that RFK Jr. is considering Aaron Rodgers as a possible running mate for his vice president. Earlier this morning on DPHR and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said, man, that Aaron Rodgers, he's an interesting dude.
His NFL career will not go on forever, right? Maybe a year, maybe two. He says maybe even three.
Same four, maybe.
Can't we revisit him running for public office in 2028 when he's probably done with the NFL?
Yeah, but I don't know if this opportunity presents itself then. This feels like one of those things that, you know, has the opportunity potentially happen now, and who knows what it looks like, you know, 4 years from now.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.